grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you bring your imaginations with you? Well, turn your imagination on. Everybody, get back into the boats. Quickly, get back into the boats before these town folks become too agitated. They don't want Jesus to stay here. I just don't understand. Listen to them. They're shouting at Jesus to leave. They're afraid that more disasters will come. Losing that herd of pigs is all they can think about. Climb back into the boats. Okay, shove off. Where are we going? Back to Capernaum. Across the sea and back to Capernaum they went. Jesus and all his disciples scattered amongst all those boats. People on the shore of Capernaum shout out, "Hey! Here comes Jesus! He's coming back! Quick, spread the word!" And people start coming and going. They start running as quick as can be. It's a frenzied fashion. "Someone help me. Please help me. I want to see Jesus. Can you get me there? Please. Help me." And people keep rushing by. "Please help me. I can't walk. I can't move my legs. Will someone please take me to Jesus?" And the agony of his helplessness was showing in his eyes, and tears were just flowing down his cheeks. "Please, anybody, take me to Jesus." Along come a group of men, and they swoop him up. Picking up the four corners of the mat he was lying on, they head in the direction of the crowd. For where the crowd was going, you would find Jesus. Waiting patiently in line, witnessing healing after healing, the edge forward, inch by inch. Finally, they're standing before Jesus, and the men set the mat down with the paralytic lying on it. And in the men's eyes is expectation gleaming that Jesus would heal the man that they had spent a good part of the day carrying to Jesus. Pharisees had gathered, scribes and teachers of the law, they were there too, and a divine appointment is about to take place. Seeing the faith and the expectation of the men that had carried the mat, Jesus turns to the paralytic, and the power of the gaze of love, so penetrating, so compassionate, compassion just flowed from the eyes of Jesus to give the paralyzed man exactly what he needed. "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." "My sins forgiven? I don't understand. I'm here to walk again. And you're talking about my sins?" Murmurs filled the crowd. Jesus had never said to anybody before, "Your sins are forgiven." What is he getting at? The scribes, their hearts well up with indignation. "Who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. That is blasphemy." Such wickedness this Jesus is guilty of. "You heard him?" And around the crowd, the word blasphemy was picking up steam from person to person. Like a locomotive starting out from the train station, chugging along, gaining momentum with each revolution of the wheel. Jesus looks up and tells the crowd he knows what's in their hearts. "It's not a good thought in your heart. It's evil. Don't think that way. Pay attention. Which is easier? Say your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? Which is easier for me to say? Which is easier for me do?" As Jesus looked in the eyes of those around him, they turn and look away, They have no answer. But Jesus has an answer for them. So that you, yes, you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He turns to the paralytic, and with compelling passion, Jesus says, get up, take your mat, go home. Slowly, arms move. Legs stretch out. Muscles reformed. Toes wiggle. Bending the knees and moving his hands and arms into position to push himself up, slowly and steadily shifting his weight. Up, the man gets. Rising to his full height, grinning from ear to ear and tears just streaming down his face. Laughter and joy flood his soul. And he begins to dance up and down, shouting praises to God and a great big hug for Jesus. Go to your home. Take your mat and go home, Jesus says to him. The man rolls up his mat and starts off running. The crowd clears out of his way as those legs moments before were paralyzed. They're now pounding the ground in a great running gallop. Watch him go. The crowd is bewildered. Fear and reverence overtake the crowd, displacing the murmurs of blasphemy that moments earlier were mingling there. Scribes and Pharisees, they don't know what to do. The teachers of the law don't know what to do. They turn and go. They don't join in the praises to God of the crowd. For them, this Jesus blasphemed. The Gospel of Matthew has been building to this point. This encounter with the paralytic is a very important turning point in the Gospel of Matthew. Here is the first time recorded by Matthew where Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. In your Bible later today at home, highlight this verse. For that is why Jesus came, to forgive sins. It's obvious anyone can see the paralytic needed healing. However, once healed, one day he would die. What that man needed even more than regaining his ability to walk and his ability to work was a soul redeemed. Exactly the reason Jesus came to dwell among us as a man. This divine appointment with the paralytic was for a very specific purpose. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. That's the verse to highlight in your Bible. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. But so that you may know, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. In other words, that you may have very convincing proof before your very eyes that Jesus is the Messiah. That you may know from seeing this, you may vividly recall this event that proves Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. This is the third time Matthew has used the word exousia, which is translated as authority. The first time it was used was at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the people exclaimed that Jesus taught as one having authority. The second time Matthew used that Greek word was when the Roman centurion was speaking about the authority he has to give orders that others must obey. Now here, chapter 9 of Matthew, Jesus is using the word to describe his rightful, explicit and unhampered power to forgive sins. Intrinsically, in and of himself, Jesus has the power and the right to forgive sins. in the essential nature of Jesus, authority resides to forgive sins. Remember, Son of Man is a title of Messiah. The Jewish people would know this. The scribes, teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they most definitely knew this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 is a verse packed with powerful meaning for you and your faith. So you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Up to this point, Jesus has been healing. These demonstrations of healing recorded in Matthew chapter 8 are the testimonial of who Jesus is laid out for all to see. He is Son of Man, Messiah. A man ceremonially unclean made clean. A servant healed, even though Jesus never went to see him. Fever left at a touch. All who came to Peter's house were healed by Jesus. Storms silenced and made calm. Violent men possessed, set free. The crowds grew because of these healings Jesus had been doing. But here in Matthew chapter 9, we are taught there's something much, much more important than physical healing. We need spiritual healing. We need spiritual healing. Our souls need to be unburdened and set free. Forgiven by the Lord God Almighty is the only thing, the only means that can truly unburden your soul and set you free. What good is it to be 100% perfectly healthy and whole physically while your soul is crying out in excruciating pain from sin and shame, from regrets of the past? Is sin still steering your soul to more destruction? What good is it? A soul in pain. Psalm 32, hear these verses again. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Be blessed. Be blessed. And allow the power of God's mercy and grace to heal your sin-sick soul and set you free. Acknowledge your sin before the living God, and he will forgive you. Psalm 32, verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And listen to what the Lord did. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. God is not out there to get you, to catch you with your hand in the cookie jar. He wants to live with you, live in you, and give you life. By healing your soul from its sin sickness and setting you free. Your soul needs Christ Jesus and the forgiveness and new life that he freely offers. There's nowhere else to go but to Jesus. And don't go another day without knowing this soul-saving forgiveness of sins. Don't go another day without really knowing your soul is forgiven because he died on that cross and rose again. There's a reality. There is redemption. There is forgiveness of sin. Just as that paralytic got up and we imagined that he just ran home, the authority to make him whole was the authority that said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. The man got up and walked. It really happened. And what that means for you is that sins really are forgiven. Just as that paralytic sins were forgiven, your sins are forgiven. Blessed are those in whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And then verse 5 of Psalm 32. I acknowledge my sin to you, and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And hear the good news. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Hear the good news in Jesus. Your souls are forgiven all the sin and set free to new life in Him. Life that is eternal. Eternal life. Amen.